Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer radio show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program, and editor-in-chief of Chicken Whisperer magazine. Today is Thursday, February 6th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, and get more information about the chicken coop contests. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com, or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
Do you provide a heat source for your backyard chickens in the winter? In most cases, it's not necessary. But if you choose to provide a heat source for your backyard chickens, it's imperative to use a safe and effective heat source, and the only one I recommend is the Sweeter Heater. The Sweeter Heater is a safe, completely sealed, washable, non-breakable, energy-efficient, long-lasting and reliable specific area heater that comes with a 3-year warranty. Ditch the dangerous heat lamp this season and invest in the only heater I recommend, the Sweeter Heater. Purchase the Sweeter Heater online at sweeterheater.com. That's sweeterheater.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We are going to welcome poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD, and she's a professor up at Delaware State University, and today she's going to share some tips with us regarding spring cleaning for our coop and really explaining really disinfectants and how they work and which ones may be best for our coop and what diseases and things like that. So get those Chicken Whisperer notebooks out and get ready to take some notes from Dr. McCray. Hope you're having a great week. We've had some great programming this week. Of course, on Monday we had Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. He joined us on Tuesday's special evening show. We had All About Quail with Alexander Douglas. She shared with us about incubation and brooding and hatching quail. And then, of course, today we've got poultry scientist and professor Dr. McCray. Let me see what we've got going on next week, because this will be our last show for the week. Of course, Monday the 10th, we'll have Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Let's see, on Tuesday, may have the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy on Tuesday. We'll have to see about that. And then Wednesday, we will have, I think Wednesday's Purple Lotus Oils, where we talk about essential oils, and that's always important around the homestead, how we can use those in our everyday life. And then Thursday the 13th, next Thursday, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, is going to be joining us. And if you'll give me a second, I'll tell you what topic he is going to be teaching us all about. Here we go. This coming next Thursday. So let's see what we have. The 13th, home generators. So very, very cool. Richard is our homesteading and sustainable living expert. He'll be joining us. He is publisher of Back Home Magazine as well. So he'll be joining us next Thursday. So we have a pretty full lineup next week as well. Have you entered the February Ultimate Chicken Coop Contest as of yet? If you haven't, time's a ticking. It is time to enter. We've got some great prizes for you. The major coop that is provided is brought to you by Urban Coop Company, and it's a really unique design, a really cool design, and we've started adding prizes to the grand prize package. If you're not sure how that works, the initial contest on February 1st started with the coop only, and then we have mini contests on our Facebook page throughout the month of February, and each time the goal is met, we add new prizes to the grand prize package. So it started with the coop. Now we've included free shipping. We've included an extended run. Keep those chickens happy. We've included the Foul Play Products chicken swing. And throughout the month, we're going to be adding more and more prizes, incubators, brooder heaters, gift cards, mobile runs, all kinds of cool prizes, okay? So make sure you pay attention there and add to the ultimate prize package. So I think we've had close to 9,000 people already enter, so we may even exceed the entries we had last month in January. We had just over 17,000 entries, and we did announce the winner on January 31st. She has been notified, and I'm sure she is starting to receive those prizes that are going to total $2,844 from January on her doorstep. So how cool was that? She was very excited. She's promised to post pictures on our Facebook page of all the, some of the prizes as they start rolling in, including, of course, the coop that we all want to see delivered and set up at her location in Portland, Oregon. So you got to love it. How to enter, you ask? Very, very simply, okay? What you need to do is send me an email. That is your entry, one email. That is your entry for the February coop contest, okay? You're going to send an email to contest@chickenwhisperer.com. Okay, again, that's contest@chickenwhisperer.com. In the subject line of that email, you'll put coop contest. And then down in the email itself, you will add your name, your shipping address, and your phone number. And then hit send. That's that simple. One entry, per person. Okay, so if you, yes, you and your husband can enter, but you and your husband have to have different email addresses. Your whole subdivision could enter for you. Nobody in your subdivision keeps chickens, but you go door to door and ask them to enter. They can enter too. And then when they win, just have everything shipped to you. That's cool. But every entry has to be a separate email address. Have your entire immediate family of 23 people enter 23 different email addresses. Okay, that's how it works, very simply. No purchase necessary. Contest has absolutely nothing to do with Facebook. And I will announce the winner on February the 29th. So how cool is that? I'll notify them by email and phone. And we'll even have a special radio show. And we'll try to call them live on the show to surprise them with the news. How cool is that? So got to love that. So we've got the February contest going. We will have an additional coop contest in March, another one in April, another one in May, another one in June. And believe it or not, I'm waiting to hear back from another coop company, which may add one in July. So that'll be 7 awesome chicken coop contest to start off 2014, but wait, there's more. There will also be another opportunity to win an awesome chicken coop from Green Chicken Coop Company in our first issue of Chicken Whisperer magazine. How awesome is that? A completely separate contest. Now that's the ultimate deal. So how cool is that? So yeah, so speaking of that, you can go ahead and subscribe. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. Scroll down until you see an ad about the magazine. Click on the link, and you can subscribe. What? We don't want your money. It's free. Absolutely. So you can subscribe to the digital edition absolutely free. It'll come to your iPad, your iPhone, email, laptop, desktop, whatever. And it's the same magazine that you can order if you choose to. A lot of people are kind of touchy and feely, and they like a real magazine to read. And that's great. So we can accommodate them. It'll be mailed directly to your house, $9.95. $9.95 for the year subscription. How awesome is that? So we invite you to go and do that if you choose to. We would love for you to do. And lots of great information. We have an awesome team of contributors never assembled like this before in the history of backyard chicken keeping. So we hope you'll join us regarding that. So you got to love that, too. And we hope you'll sign up for that and enter the coop contest. If you enter the coop contest via email, you'll get an automatic reply that we received your entry, and there will be the link to subscribe to the magazine as well. So you got to love it. So, hey, hope you'll do that. See another kind of big news. Oh, spent about 3 hours, maybe 4 hours yesterday evening choosing. Now we've kind of have a route for our spring national tour with Tractor Supply, and we kind of have the route where we're going, and the dates have now been approved. And then last night I was choosing the individual stores. I got some information sent from Tractor Supply. It's classified, but it tells me rank 1 all the way down to rank 1400. They have about 1400 stores in order of chick equipment and supplies sales. And so, obviously, when we're going from town to town, we want to have the event at the stores that really love chickens, and their customers really love chickens. So we kind of have the route. I heard that by Monday or sometime Monday that the actual stores will get approved. I can kind of give you an idea of the route that we're going to take, though. We're going to, of course, launch the tour in Atlanta, my hometown, by doing a national webinar at the CDC headquarters in Atlanta. And that'll be on Thursday the 27th. I've already posted information on our Facebook page how to sign up for that. It is also free. And then we'll go from there. And then we're heading down to – now, these won't be the events may not be right in these towns, but this is kind of the route we're taking. We'll go from Atlanta down to Mobile, Alabama, over towards Lafayette and Beaumont, Louisiana. Beaumont, I think, is in Texas, isn't it? Anyways, that all kind of run together down there. Then we'll go down to Beaumont. And then let's just say Mobile over to Lafayette, Louisiana, Houston, Texas, Austin, Texas, Waco, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, Wichita, Oklahoma City, Wichita, Kansas City, and then over towards St. Louis, and then we're heading over to Indianapolis. And then we're heading down to Louisville, and then Knoxville, Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then back down to Atlanta. We're making kind of a big circle. So that looks like it's probably going to be the route. We've narrowed it down to a lot of the stores, and so those will get approved hopefully on Monday. Then I can start posting exactly the store we're going to be, what day we're going to be there, what time we're going to be there, and every event includes a book signing. It includes a two-hour workshop and Q&A. It's just a really a fun time and a lot of surprises that we'll be giving away during Chicken Trivia throughout the presentation. So we're really looking forward to that. I hope you can make it, and I think we'd love to see our fans when we're on the road. How cool is that? So let's head over here to the phone lines. We've got poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McRae in queue, and today's topic again is spring poop cleaning and understanding disinfectants. Let's go ahead and give her a big Chicken Whisperer welcome.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, Doc. Thanks for joining us today. I always love it when you're on, and always great information when you're on. And I had some people post on the Facebook page, just couldn't be more perfect timing that they still had some snow on the ground, but they're anxious for spring to get here, and they clean in the spring, they may clean in the fall. And they're really looking forward to the information you're going to share today.
Exactly. The reason why we're talking about this while there's still snow on the ground is so that you can plan ahead. Because I know nobody likes that last-minute rushed feeling. I hate it. I don't need stress. Thank you very much. I've got enough on my plate. So let's talk about it now. Get your mind thinking about it. And then you can make better decisions as to whether or not you want to pursue going this route or that route, and maybe even open up your calendar and set the day aside. You know, exit out and say coop cleaning or that weekend.
Yep.
But right now I'm angry with Blog Talk Radio because it just kicked me out, so I can't see anything as far as the listeners.
A bunch of people are trying to get in now. I see in the chat room, and not everybody can access the chat room, folks. So, but some people are fortunate enough to, and a lot of guests
started
in there
typing
today.
Thank in, and then it kicked me out, and I was just like, "Grr, come on now, Blog Talk."
Thanks for joining
this
us.
It's a very important show.
It is. It is a very important show, and I'm going to kick it off with a question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, hit me. Hit me with your question.
Okay. And I, as you know, and anybody who ever follows me on Facebook and Twitter, when talking about, for example, heating your coop and things like that, one of the points I make out is that chickens have been domesticated, depending on what research you look at, between 6,000 and 8,000 years, I guess. And we've only had electricity in America for the last about since 1930 in most places, maybe a little before that in the bigger cities. And the chickens have been doing, hey, let's just say pretty good. I mean, they're still around. So they're using a taste of my own medicine here, not necessarily against me, but they're using the same theory. So let me share with you what Douglas posted on our Facebook page. And I appreciate this because I use the same theory when talking about doing a lot of things with chickens. I certainly don't mean this to sound facetious, but what did our ancestors use hundreds of years ago to keep their birds clean? Seems to me that the antibiotic injected chicken feed, GMO, and all is inferior to anything from the past. So, so that's kind of his question. What did, you know, before we had disinfectants and all this stuff that's going to kill these germs and clean the coop? You know, what did our ancestor do before we had oxime? Before we had, you know, maybe bleach
okay.
and things like
well,
that.
Well, you're mixing two things up, Andy.
Uh-huh.
His question specifically asks about antibiotics in the feed, correct?
Let's see. Yes, it says, what are ends? Because I had put in there the topic about the disinfectants being used. He may, you know, but it does. It says, what did our ancestors use hundreds of years ago to keep their birds clean? That was number one. What did our
okay.
ancestors hundreds of years ago use to keep their birds clean? And then two, just a comment, seems to me that the antibiotic injected chicken and feed and GMO food is inferior to anything from the past. So the only question in there is the what did our ancestors use to clean their birds?
All right. Don't confuse disinfectants with antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use a disinfectant as an antibiotic, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's out there doing that, stop right now. Okay? do not squirt disinfectants into the beaks of your chickens. I don't want to see any of that going down. As far as injecting birds with antibiotics and antibiotics in the feed. Birds are only injected with antibiotics on a as-needed basis. It's not done commercially because usually it's a house of chickens that is sick, and nobody in their right mind is going to go through a house of several tens of thousands of chickens and give each one a shot. No way. If anything, it's going to come through the water. So injecting your birds, not going to happen. They don't inject antibiotics into feed. And there's a lot of companies now that have antibiotic-free lines. So it is still very easy to find antibiotic-free labeled birds. And then, of course, several companies no longer use what is considered sub-therapeutic levels of antibiotics. Some still do. Call them and ask them. They'll tell you straight up. And you can make your decision that way. But it's more like a mixing in of a powder, not injecting into a feed. So don't stand around and think that farmers or feed mill operators are sitting around with a syringe injecting stuff. It's not going to happen. Scale of production is far too large. Like down around the corner from me, the farmer that I take my students to for advanced poultry science, he's a diversified farmer. He's got a grain operation. He's got a floral shop. He's got, other animals and poultry. But that's what he feeds his family off of. That's how he operates his business, and he's got several employees. Gosh, I think he's got around 5 employees that are paid off of that operation. So it kind of bothers me when I hear people say factory farm, because, I don't know, they're human beings to me. So getting back to the first question, which is, how did people in ancient times keep their animals clean? They didn't. Huge problems with diseases. Birds were constantly getting sick. Some of those things were transmitted to other people's farms. Disease was everywhere. And people didn't really have the concept of biosecurity yet. Certainly wasn't anything taught to one another way back when. So if you're looking to keep your birds healthy, sure, by all means, continue the way people did 300 or 400 years ago, but you're taking a huge risk. If you are looking to make a profit, you're going to want to disinfect. You're going to want to follow biosecurity programs. So if you think that just because 300 or 400 years ago people were doing just fine, they weren't. They scraped by. The productivity of the birds wasn't great. Their birds' lives were shortened. We certainly have improved the length of time that chickens are on this earth and productive, or at least living healthier lives. So, putting it in perspective, that's the truth.
I'm still, I still.
And these organisms that we've identified now, they were out there. We just didn't have the science to identify them 300 or 400 years ago. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, a lot of times when I'm doing workshops anywhere across the country, or I'm even walking through, say, Tractor Supply, and someone asks me a question, I'm still intrigued about how many people think that when they buy medicated feed, there's antibiotic in that. And,
nope.
And, it's not.
The end.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're like, I want to raise them organically, and I don't want to, that's why I don't use medicated starter, because I don't want to give them any antibiotics, and then we have to stop right there and go up the
that's
chain.
That's not
regarding
an antibiotic.
Antibiotic, yeah, exactly. And a lot of people see that medication, and they just think, oh, I'm giving them antibiotics.
No, you're just saving them from a horrible death, but hey,
yeah.
I've seen so many birds sick with coccidiosis, and they're, by the time I get the phone call, or by the time I get a picture, or, I go see the bird, they are in such bad shape. Sometimes the whole reason why I'm there is to teach the person how to put them down humanely.
Mm-hmm.
Because the animal can't lift its head up. It's not eating or drinking anymore. It's, you know, it's just wasting away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't like seeing birds in that condition, especially when it's preventable.
Right.
And yes, it's natural, but you naturally had better be prepared to deal with death, too. Not everybody is. Sometimes I've had a few people who are like, yes, we were ready to go the all-natural route, and then they fell in love with their birds, and other decisions were made. So there you go.
There you
go.
So
talking about spring cleaning, we've talked about the process of spring cleaning in the past. You need to find a temporary home for your birds somewhere on your property, and 'cause clean out is a three-day process. On day one, you're going to take your birds to their temporary home, set up that temporary home, take your birds over there, and then do the elbow grease. Do the scrubbing and the cleaning. Get all the feeders and waters out of there. Take everything apart. Get the dust off the rafters. Take the cobwebs down with a broom or a blowtorch, whatever you choose to do. Just don't set your coop on fire. But get the dust out of there, get the shavings out of there, get the manure out of there, take your shavings over to a compost pile or spread it thinly on a field so you can let it dry very quickly. Wouldn't do that in a rainstorm, honestly. I think this would be best done on a dry, warm day. Hence, most spring days can give you several of those days in a row. And get in there and clean up your trouble spots. If you have a quarter-inch layer of chicken poop on your roosting pole, get in there with a putty knife and get it off of there. And or take that pole down and scrub it some other way. Sand it down if it's really a mess. Or put a new pole up. It's up to you. If you've got feathers everywhere, get them out. Take a leaf blower and just blow them out. Get them out of there. After our chicken show here, Andy, the Delmarva Poultry Fancier show, what we do is we have this whole giant hall. It's the same hall where we have Cooptastic, so you've been there. You've seen it. It's got a cement.
Yeah.
So what we do is we take down all the cages and all the tables and roll up all the tar paper, but there's always that big layer of shavings on the floor. So what we'll do is we will take and take a big 4x8 sheet of plywood and drag that around and get it all into a big pile and then load all that up, that big pile, onto a truck. Then you're left with the dust that falls into the cracks between the big slabs of cement. Well, you know what? A leaf blower works great for getting that dust out of that crack. One of the guys one year figured that out, and he happened to have his leaf blower in the back of his truck, and he says, let's see what this does. And sure enough, you know, you get two guys going the same direction in that building with the leaf blower, and you're going to get that dust back over to the pile and get it out of the nooks and crannies. Then you go through with a big broom, like a dust mop, and get up whatever's left, and then we fog the building. So you all won't be doing that. You're probably going to take a rake and a shovel and get your manure out of there, get a broom out, get your dust down off the chicken wire, off the rafters, off every little ledge, and then get ready for some more elbow grease. You're going to want to scrub all your feeders. You're going to scrub all your waters. You should be doing this on a regular basis anyhow, so that's part of your normal routine probably. If you're doing it weekly or monthly. So you'll have all the equipment for that. That won't be anything new. But you're going to have to get in there, and maybe you want to borrow or rent a power washer, or maybe you have one of your own, and you're going to want to spray down the walls of your chicken coop and get into the nooks and crannies. Take apart your your nest boxes. Get them out of there. Get access to the wall. If your nest boxes are made out of galvanized metal and you don't want to take them off the wall, at least take the bottoms out of them. Disassemble them as much as you can. And take that power washer to it. And as far as a time-saving device, a power washer is heaven sent. Oh, my goodness. You're going to get wet during this process, mind you, so wear some muck boots. Keep in mind that you want to work from the top towards the bottom because the water's just going to run down the sides. And if your chicken coop has a wooden floor, you might want to take a little squeegee or something, or maybe a shovel, and just kind of scoop that water out. If your chicken coop is made out of dirt, you're going to want to let that dry, really let it dry. You want to get that power washing done quick so you don't load up that floor with too much water. Then let it dry overnight. And dry as much as possible. Get the inside done and get that to drying first before you work on the outside of your coop. Sure, power wash the outside, no problem. Could be that you've got some gutters on your chicken coop, time to clean them out. Think about your, any trees that are nearby. Is there a particular spot where a pigeon likes to roost on your chicken coop? Get rid of the manure from that pigeon. Power wash it off. And maybe you'll need a ladder, maybe a step stool, maybe you won't need anything. It'll be really quick and easy if you've got one of the nice little tiny ones. And by the way, Andy, I did take a look at the green coop, the green chicken coop. Oh, my gosh, they're cute. And when I went to the, it was several years ago, but I was in the audience for the Martha Stewart show. She had one of these coops on here. And, if it's one of the small ones where, you're taller than the coop, it's going to be a real quick cleanup job with a power washer.
Uh-huh.
And, this might be the time where you power wash it in one location, and since it's spring, you're ready to move it around. If it's a mobile coop anyhow, move it to the new spot and let that spot where you did the power washing just dry out on its own, away from where you're going to put your chickens in next. Looking at the Green Chicken Coop Company, Andy, I noticed they have some really great historical photos. Love it. I'm looking at a picture right now of a pasture of what looks like just some brown chickens, and in the background, far in the distance, is a what looks like an old, like, Model T car of some sort. Really kind of nifty. Love old photos like that. But looking, look around your coop and, did you kick up a mouse nest? Okay, well, time to repair that hole. Did you find that one of your perches needs to be kind of tightened up so that it doesn't fall down? That's when you're going to want to make your repairs. So it really does, this step, take a day. But it's one day a year. It's spring cleaning. Give yourself that. Dedicate that to your birds because, as much as your chickens would like stuff to work in their favor, they're not going to go pick up the hammer drill and fix the roost. Sorry. It may be a Jersey Giant, but still, no opposable thumbs, no fingers. All right. So once you've got that inside taken care of, move to the outside, and then if you want, move your coop if that's a possibility. If not, move on to your, whatever little details you have left to take care of. You may want to work on your feeders and waters last rather than first. Get your compost pile turned once you've got your manure and your litter mixed in there. And then go inside the house and make yourself an omelet next day. And, omelets for dinner are completely legitimate. Next day you're going to want to take your power washer. If you don't have a power washer, you're going to be in there with gloves on with warm, soapy water doing this rather than using a power washer. You're going to be using warm, soapy water in all the nooks and crannies, every edge, every crevice, the wire, you're going to be going over everything. And then you're going to want to rinse it off. But the next day you're going to go in with your power washer, and if you can, some power washers will allow you to add a disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe mix it into the tank. They have a certain, read the directions. You don't want to ruin a power washer, especially if you've borrowed it or you're renting it. If it's not one of those power washers that allows you to do a mix-in of a disinfectant, then you're going to want to mix up some disinfectant in like a spray bottle and cover all the surfaces. Read the label. Every disinfectant company has something slightly different on their label, and you want to mix it according to their label directions. Just because last year you bought from Joe's disinfectant company and this year you bought from Matt's disinfectant company, read the label. But, of course, most people know that disinfectants come in gallon sizes, and that lasts you pretty much a couple of years, depending on how big your flock is and how much space you have to disinfect.
Can you give us some examples of some disinfectants one might use?
Oh, yes. One of the disinfectants that I like is Tektrol, Tektrol. I really like that one because when you're having it shipped to you, it's not rated as a hazardous chemical, so there's no hazardous chemical shipment fee. And they also sell it in a spray can. Yay! A little aerosol spray can, and that's usually what I use for the inside of my incubators because I can't reach back into the electrical unit. I clean as best as I can back there, but then I'm going to have to spray everything with a can of Tektrol. And I usually get my Tektrol from Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, who advertises on your site. And I usually, pick up a couple of cans from him every year at the Delmarva Poultry Fancier Show, which will be April 5th this year, everyone. Hint, hint. So I'll pick up some disinfectant from him. Another one that he sells is Oxine, O-X-I-N-E. Uh-huh. And that's a product that we use a lot of times for fogging the building after our show. that's a good product as well. Another one that you can use is 1-Stroke Environ. It's usually the number 1-STROKE, and then the last word is Environ, Environ. Another one that they used around the farm when I was in college was called Nolvasan. Let me spell that one for you. N-O-L-V-A-S-A-N. Nolvasan, yes. Nolvasan. It's kind of blue, which was cool.
Okay.
Because it looked like fancy Windex.
Oh, yeah,
Windex, though. People don't use Windex.
Question for you was, the Tektrol, Oxine, 1-Stroke Environ, the Nolvasan, fancy names, and it sounds like they're just really one step above, for example, using Pine Sol we get at the dollar store, or maybe the $2.99 bottle of bleach.
These are all effective against the worst of the worst. They're all effective against avian influenza. So not saying that that's going to come down the pike, but it has been here on Delmarva, and it's been in several states. But you want something that's effective against the nastiest of the nasty.
Yeah, if you're going to take the time to do it right the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
You can use chlorine. Clorox. You can use it for a lot of different things. Clorox is made out of sodium hypochlorite, and that's, something you can buy just about anywhere. box stores, grocery store. You know, you can use commercially available bleaching powder, but it's 1 ounce to a gallon of water. You're not going to be able to find that as easily. But you're going to want to make sure you use soft water. So, you know, if you got to, you know, be careful. If you're out in the barn and you've got really hard water, if you're going to make up a stock solution and keep it for months and months, you might have some precipitate, and so you'll have to shake it up. But soft water does well. It's not effective against really dirty surfaces. I know people, Andy, and they find it very much part of their pride to walk up to me and say, I pour bleach directly on my ground and my chickens have never been sick. Right. Okay. Number one, I feel bad for your ground. And number two, do you test? How do you know?
Yep.
But, you know, you need to clean the surface first. Organic debris like, you know, accumulated feed, dust, droppings, they need to be gotten out of the way in order for the surface that you're trying to maintain gets disinfected. You know, and if you've got a power washer and you've got yourself set up to do it, you know, power wash the wheels of your car while you've got that thing rented or borrowed. Why not? Get the wheel well around where your wheels are on the outside. You know, clean that up. Why not? So, you know, disinfectants come in a lot of different compounds, Andy. So I'm going to start with one called a quaternary ammonium compound. Quaternary is spelled Q-U-A-T-E-R-N-A-R-Y. For short, people call them quats. And there's a lot of different of quats out there. They're sold under different trade names. They're usually clear and odorless as a detergent, but they're effective against bacteria and fungi. Not quite as effective against viruses, but, you know, if they've been proven effective against avian influenza, which is a virus, then they can label themselves as such. The thing with quats, though, is you have to do a good job on the first step of cleaning. If you've got soap that's left over from day one, when you go out there on day two to use your disinfectant, the soap would enact nary ammonium. And that's just a bit of chemistry going on there. Soaps and detergents, excuse me, sorry. Soaps and detergents will inactivate the quaternary ammoniums. Mineral salts, organic materials, again, are going to inactivate the quaternary ammonium. You want the quaternary ammonium to be working on the surface itself. It's not going to disinfect dirt and poop. So clean that stuff out first. You know, you can sanitize the inside of your feeders and your waters using the quaternary ammonium. You know, always read the label directions. If it says wear gloves, wear gloves. If you're going to be spraying it around in a power washer and it says that breathing protection is required, put the mask on. Put safety glasses on. Those are all things easily found at your local Lowe's or Home Depot. And there are times when safety glasses are just a good plan when you're working with certain things around the house, even some cleaners around the house, or when you're cleaning up paint. Another type of disinfectant that you can get is, it comes in the form called an iodophore. And I'm going to spell that one for you. I-O-D-O-P-H-O-R-E-S. Iodophores. So what do you think the most active part in that name? What do you think the active part is, Andy?
Yep, I knew you were going to ask.
dodo. Does that help you?
No.
No, iodine. Iodine.
Ah, yes.
And we know that iodine is really great.
Used on the ambulance, yep.
Yeah. What form did you use on the ambulance? Straight up iodine?
Yeah, and a lot of times we had bottles, but we also had the just the wipes before we started an IV, things like that.
Well, you know, historically speaking, iodine is really great for its ability to kill germs. But, you know, you're going to want to mix it up, again, according to the label directions if you're buying an iodophore. If it's in an acid solution, it can be corrosive. So read the label directions, follow them, you'll be good. You can combine iodophores with alcohol or with detergents, and those wipes that you mentioned, those were probably an iodine and alcohol solution. Sometimes they'll have you scrub up, if you've seen your vet scrub up with something that looks like a foamy iodine, that's a detergent mixed with an iodine. And can't remember the name of the stuff that we always use, but, you know, it was great because if you had an animal that was having a hard time giving birth, the vet might have to scrub up their arm and reach in if they didn't have the long gloves, or if they had an animal that didn't require the long gloves. It's fairly good in the presence of organic matter. And there is a little bit of residual activity, but it stains. everyone knows that iodine stains, and not everybody's going to want to use that in their coop. So, you know, it's got its pluses and minuses, and that's why I'm going through this today, so that you know what the pluses and minuses are. So if you don't want the inside of your coop to be kind of a yellowish brown, you might want to move on to something else. If you want to use it on, like, your feeders or something like that, you can go ahead and use that. It's good for your foot bath. But there you go. Those are your options. If you're using boots, you can use an iodophore in your foot bath. Okay, let's go back to chlorines or the chlorines. You've got sodium hypochlorite or you've got potassium hypochlorite. The active ingredient is the element chlorine. Widely germicidal, very corrosive. So chlorine kills a lot of bacteria, funguses, but, you know, it's going to corrode stuff. It doesn't do much in the presence of organic matter. There's a slight residual effect, but when you don't get the soap off of the walls or other surfaces, then the ability of the chlorine solution is really reduced. So it's got to be, again, used on a clean surface. Rinse the soap off. Let's see, what else? I have a recipe that I've given many times. I'll just say it again. For a chlorine solution, if you use a quarter cup of bleach into 17 cups of water, that gives you a pretty good solution. But if you are not interested in dealing with small quantities, you've got a big coop, let's go with the larger solution. So you've got 17 cups of bleach into 4 1/4 quarts of water. You can do that solution. And that could get you through, depending on the size of your coop, the entire inside. You might have to mix up another batch to do the outside. But there you have it. Spray it down on on a, you know, maybe you want to go buy a garden sprayer and spray the inside rather than using just a pump sprayer, like a little squirt bottle. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, your hand would get really tired if you tried to spray down the inside of your entire barn. But a garden sprayer might save you a lot of time. But make sure you label everything. You may not want to use the same garden sprayer for an iodophore where you mixed chlorine last time. Label everything with a felt tip pen, like a Sharpie pen. Those are easily available at office supply stores. And keep one out there in the barn so that you can label stuff appropriately and not mix chemicals. No sense in you mixing up a whole new batch of iodophore if you didn't thoroughly clean out or have a dedicated garden sprayer that last had chlorine in it. So you don't want to mix those things. Let's see. Did I skip one? Oh, pine oil. There we go. Pine oil, it's limited in its ability to kill germs. It works better if you mix it with a detergent or soap or even ammonium salts. They're good for cleaners, not very corrosive, but some people hate the odor. It is, after all, pine oil. And the odor sticks around. So if you want your coop to be pine fresh, great. If you want it to be pine fresh for a day, you might not want to use the pine oil because it'll last a little bit longer. You can use it on walls and floors very easily, so it's great for disinfecting surfaces. How are we doing on time, Andy?
Doing just fine.
Okay. Don't worry. Let's talk about coal tar distillates. Those are called creosols or crosylic acid. If you look at the active ingredient, sometimes that's what they're going to be listing as a creosol, and that's spelled C-R-E-O-S-O-L-S, creosols. wide range of germs that they kill, corrosive and toxic at high concentrations. very effective in the presence of organic matter. It also works well long after you've applied it. They smell awful. you can mix them with detergents, but you have to pay attention to the pH range. They tend to work better in the acid pH range. So, you know, you're going to want to mix up something or purchase something that, you know, look at the bottle. What do you have to mix up with it? Do you have the equipment for that? If you don't, put the bottle down. Go find something else. Or have the feed store order something else. You know, you've really got to allow that. You have to allow enough time to let the smell and the toxic gases get out before you put yourself back in there or you put birds back in there. That's the thing. I would recommend them for a foot bath, though. They work great for foot baths. So, like I said, we're going to go through some pluses and some minuses today. Lots of pluses and minuses. So now that you're kind of thinking about, all right, well, you know how I was thinking that the clean out would be the rough part? Well, with all these different disinfectants out there, which one am I going to choose? Well, you know, take a look at the bottle, see what it's made out of, and I'm not done going through the list yet, but take a look what it requires. Some of them have contact time that you have to abide by. You can't just spray it on and spray it off. You're wasting your money. It might need 10 minutes to stay on the surface before you rinse it off. It might need, an hour contact time or 30 minutes contact time. You need to read the label and see if you're willing to dedicate that amount of time to doing so. Okay. Synthetic phenolics, phenols. Phenol is P-H-E-N-O-L. And there's a category of phenols when you're referring to them. You know, usually we call them a phenolics group. Again, there's a lot of bacteria, fungi, yeast that they are effective on. They sometimes can be combined with other phenols in order to increase the range of bacteria and their effectiveness that they will have on bacteria, viruses, fungi. Not very toxic, not very corrosive. And they penetrate even better if they're mixed with the detergent. So sometimes these products that you're buying have a detergent already mixed in. Hey, bonus, you don't have to do that. Sometimes they're pretty good as deodorizers as well. They last a long time after they've been used in the chicken coop. They have a residual effect on the surfaces on which they're sprayed. Sometimes, depending on how you're using them, you can actually paint them on, depending on what you purchase. And sometimes commercial phenols, they're mixed with detergents because that makes them a one-step wash and disinfection of equipment. So you're going to have to read the label and see what you really got in that bottle. And if you want to skip the day one step, you might have to do, you know, removing of the litter, and you might have to get the equipment out of there. But then if you've got a power washer, you may just be able to spray everything down. Have you had any questions in your chat room, Andy, so far?
There was one that talked about Lysol killing chicken viruses like human viruses.
Mm-hmm. Lysol is a phenol, and we know it works well, you know, in our human daily lives. But, you know, how many cans of Lysol is it going to take to do your chicken coop, Andy?
Uh-huh. or, plural, coops.
Coops, there you go.
Coops, with an S.
If you want to use that, great. I mean, do the good cleanup job. Lysol doesn't have the detergent component to it, so you will have to do day one. But if you want to Lysol the inside of your coop, make sure you buy enough cans and cover everything. Get it into every nook and cranny. Then again, you're spraying a lot of Lysol, usually in a small space. You need to make sure that you don't pass out. Okay?
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of times they say do not use in enclosed spaces. Well, maybe what you're going to do is you're going to start at the top and work your way down, but do one wall, open up the coop, let it air out for 30 minutes, go back in, do another wall, air it out, come back in 30 minutes, do another wall, and just do it that way. Surely there's other things you can do around your farm, ranch, backyard as you're letting it air out. But, you know, do not use Lysol in an enclosed space and then, you know, make yourself sick.
Yeah.
Please don't do that.
Exactly.
Read the directions. Commercial?
Yes, exactly. That'll be perfect. I was just about to, well, in fact, I did place you on a mute a little too early, but absolutely. And we come back, I've got a question for you as well. So,
okay.
Folks, we're going to go to commercial break. We're talking with poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McRae. Today we're talking about spring cleaning that coop, and we're talking all about disinfectants as well. So there'll be more to come, and I've got a question for the doc when we return. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
You need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All right, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We're talking with poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McCray. We're talking about spring cleaning. It will be here before you know it. And spring cleaning those coops and really kind of getting all the information about disinfectants out there for us so we can choose the right ones for us and really what they do. So welcome back, Dr. McCray, and I have a question for you. I think at the beginning of the segment you talked about this, you know, it's spring and doing it right the first time, taking the time, using the right cleaner that you know that's going to work for doing it. But I think you had may have mentioned once a year. So is this just spring for folks that maybe do it twice a year in spring and then maybe in the fall getting ready for the sloppy and wet winters? Obviously, I'm going to guess that's not going to hurt anything to do it more than once a year. Or do you, we're going to clean like crazy in spring and then do some spot cleaning throughout the year? I just wanted to get your take on the number of times we should do the cleaning.
Well, I can talk all I want about how to raise your chickens and what bacteria can do what or viruses or fungi can do this or that to your chickens. But, Andy, when it comes right down to it, we're talking about people and your time and what you're willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, honestly, once a year, a major cleaning like this should be part of your program. If you own poultry, just know that once a year, this is when you should do it. The reason why people do spring cleaning is because the chickens have been, of course, quote-unquote, cooped up all winter. And you're about to go into a season where heat and sunlight destroys a lot of organisms. What you're doing by cleaning in the spring is disrupting all of that very comfortable, well ingrained, happy little organisms that have been hanging out all winter. And by cleaning in the spring and kind of rocking their world and getting them out of there, you're taking advantage of the increased amount of sunlight, wind, and drying of the spring and summer to keep your coop healthy for longer so that you don't have to do as much work to keep the coop healthy. And then if you wanted to do kind of a prep for winter and when you get into fall, that's when you know that you might have to do kind of a light cleanup before heading into the deep, dark, cold of winter, as we have yet another storm bearing down on us here. And as you many of you in the northern parts know, we're a little sick of it. And when you start to get into the spring and you get those hot, cold combination of days, you just kind of want things to be cleaned up and get ready for anything that might crop up during that hot, cold cycle of days. But,
question.
You know, once a year, if you want to do it more often, knock yourself out. I don't have the time. If your birds get sick, you're going to do this after every sickness, no matter what. So
What about the theory of, again, this is once a year, so this may, obviously not an issue, but if you're the germaphobe or you just have this, you must have everything clean. Is it myth? Is it true? Is there any credence to clean a coop, to clean a run, may not allow the birds, say, a natural immunity to work? Too clean. You know, they have to have, you hear about that with coccidiosis, you know, that if they get some, they can have that natural immunity too. What is it such thing as having a too clean coop and run based on their natural immune system to try to help battle maybe diseases?
If you're maintaining your flock in such a manner that your birds are not going to be exposed to the organisms, and you keep a clean coop, that's good. That's fine. If your coop is filthy dirty and your birds are constantly exposed to the organism, that's bad. Now let's talk about the in-between. If you're constantly exposing your birds to organisms and you've got a clean coop, your birds are going to be okay. Well, they might come down sick, but you're not challenging their immune system quite as hard as if their environment were constantly trying to kill them. And if you think about this as a triangle, at the top you've got the environment, and at the top corner you've got the environment, at the one other corner you've got the host, which is your chicken, and the last corner you've got the disease organism. So if your environment doesn't pose a risk, then you've got interplay between the host and the organism. So if your host is naive or weak in some way, then the organism can take over and kill your bird. If your host is healthy, it can fight off an organism just fine. So there are some theories that if your birds don't know how to prepare for the organism because they've never been exposed to germs, that's a bunch of hullabaloo. Germs are everywhere. Are they not going to be able to fight off that organism? Well, just because your birds had coccidiosis doesn't mean they're going to be ready to fight off salmonella. Completely different. So when people start talking about that, I want them to be as prepared as a veterinarian for that argument, because our veterinarians have to be prepared for that kind of discussion and understanding of interplay, and not everybody is. So a lot of times when people start talking like that, they don't understand what they're talking about, what interplays are really going on, what's stronger, what the immune system can and cannot do, and what the immune system is and is not prepared for. So keep your coop clean. Spring clean out should do the trick for really disrupting things. If you want to clean monthly or weekly, I know folks here in Delaware who do it. Their birds are fine. There are other people who do a terrible job and will tell you their birds are fine. But when I walk onto the property, if I see diarrhea, if I see coughing or I hear coughing, they're not fine. Don't kid yourself. Take care of the problem. Start with a clean out. Separate the sick birds. So on and so forth. But before we run out of time, Andy, I wanted to get through a couple more disinfectants so that people will know what some of these things are on the labels of these disinfectants that they can pick up. One of the least likely things that you're to come across is formaldehyde as a disinfectant. Andy, I know you're familiar with formaldehyde. It kills germs, but it's also a preservative. It's also a carcinogen. So it's not something you're likely to use. It used to be used a great deal in hatcheries to disinfect the eggs that were coming in from the breeder farms before they were put inside the incubators. But now the U.S. government's pretty much outlawed its use in hatcheries because it is a carcinogen and people work in hatcheries, so, you know, nix that one. Used to be that you could use it for fumigating a place, but like I said, it's not likely to be something that you can find. It's also, you know, effective against fungi and spores, so, you know, it has its pluses, but it has major drawbacks. Hydrogen peroxide, on the other hand, or potassium permanganate, those are oxidizers. Remember oxine, hence the name. So widely germicidal, not very corrosive, and it's not carcinogenic. When it breaks down into hydrogen, oxygen, and water. There you go. So you can use it for cleaning eggs by spraying it onto eggs. You can use it as an aerosol inside your incubator when you're done cleaning. Trouble is, it's not very good against organic matter. So you want to do a good cleanup job first. If your incubator is full of chick fluff, clean chick fluff out. If you've got shell bits down in the bottom, clean them out. You know, that's one of the pluses of oxine is that it breaks down into some fairly friendly elements and element mixtures, meaning water. And I know Peter Brown, he recommends oxine. And like I said, we've used it. And the last thing that I'm going to tell you about are sulfates.
Okay.
They're very effective in organic matter. They're commercially available. And I'm going to give you the name of one that I forgot to tell you. Virkon-S. V-I-R-K-O-N-S. Virkon-S. And it's good against bacteria. It's good against funguses and viruses. And you know, it's a really safe compound, so I like it. It's one that we've used at the university. But it's, you know, read the label directions, mix it up. We do have to wear gloves with it. You know, so make sure you have the contact time that it recommends and then do what it says to do. If it says 10 minutes and then spray off, then follow their directions. So if you are trying to disinfect an object and it's free from organic matter, reasonably clean, then you can go ahead and feel free to use chlorine, quaternary ammoniums or quats, and phenolics. If you're going to use phenolics around waters, you need to rinse them off. So if you've got objects or equipment that needs to be disinfected and they're not really all that clean, or you've got a viral load or bacterial load or protozoa that's contaminated your house, think about using the phenolic mixed with the detergent. That might be a good one-shot deal. If you don't mind the smell, try creosol on the walls and floors and ceilings. So think about that. How clean is your surface? How much time can you devote to this? If you can take it apart and take it outside into the sun and wind and dry it that way, sometimes that's the simplest method. You know, hit it with some soap and water and then just let it dry for a day. What else? Let's see. I talked about chlorine. I talked about creosol, pine oil. Oh, okay. Egg sanitizers. I'll go through that quickly. Auxine is sometimes used as an egg sanitizer. Iodophores. You can use them to dip eggs. Of course, you know, it stains slightly, depending on how you've got it mixed up. Chlorines have been used as an egg dip. And I think that's it on my list. Yeah. So think about that. But then, you know, do you really want to dip your eggs? Are your customers going to be interested in you using any sort of sanitizer or disinfectant at all on something that they're going to buy? If you know your customers well, you should, you know, get a pretty good bead on that and go with their feelings.
It's across the board, too, Doc, because it's like you'll have some people that won't even want to eat your backyard eggs. It's like something's wrong with them. It's just not right. They're not good. The store-bought is the only – I mean, we've all probably experienced that. Well, no, really, thanks. I appreciate it, but no thanks when you try to offer them eggs from your backyard. And then you've got some folks that say when they go to the farmer's market, their customers don't want the eggs washed. And then you have some that say they won't even touch them. They won't even look at them. They have to be clean and you know, whatever. So it is across the board based on, you're right, that what people want from you as their customer. And we've all probably seen it across the board, from not even wanting to eat your backyard eggs to wanting them perfectly clean and shiny white egg to, you know, I only want the blue and green ones, or I only want the dark brown ones, or don't wash them because I think they last longer with the bloom on it, and all this stuff. Everybody has their choice. Or the decision when it talks about eggs. You're right. It's quite interesting and humorous just to see the different opinions out there for how they want their eggs.
Yeah. Well, a lot of your listeners I know prefer chlorine because it's easy to work with. Just make sure that you have your hands covered. Not colored. Don't color your hands. Covered so that you don't, you know, end up with a burn from the chlorine. Keep in mind, chlorine is effective when it's at 3 to 10 parts per million. Your birds do not need to be started on chlorinated water, okay? You know, they don't need to be on high levels of chlorine. There are test kits that tell you the level of chlorine in water. So if you can locate those and if you're insisting on using chlorine, check yourself. You know, did you mix that batch up right? Did you ask somebody else to mix it up? Or if you've got somebody who's house sitting and they have to mix up a batch of chlorine, have them test it with the little test strips, the little test kits, and see if they did it right. So, you know, think about that as you're mixing together chlorine. And you did have a listener who mentioned Lysol, and Lysol will work. And when I come back from the feed store, I'll hit my shoes with a little spray of Lysol before heading into the house that's by the back door. So
three quick questions. One was just posted on in the chat room. Has Dr. McCray ever investigated UV light saturation
for sanitizing chicken coops as part of a cleansing process.
Yeah, UV light does do a good job. Your eyes need to be protected because, you know, blindness from cleaning a chicken coop, really not cool. but, no. You know, if you've got something that can put out a blast of UV light for a certain amount of time without doing damage to the coop components, you might want to consider that. But then again, why pay for that electricity if you're able to open up the coop and let Mother Nature clean it out with sun, direct sunlight, and wind? But if that isn't an option and you've got a part of the coop that just never gets sunlight from how it's oriented, you might want to consider that. Have I ever measured the amount of time it's going to take? No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good suggestion.
Okay, number two. My understanding is if you're just mixing a bleach and water solution, even buying bleach at the store, that chlorine bleach may, you can answer this maybe more after you mix it in your water, does have a shelf life. It will lose its potency over time. So once you mix it, you have so much time to use it effectively before you have to mix it again. That is correct?
Correct, yeah. So if you're going to mix it up, you're going to mix up a batch and use it. That's why people say, oh, well, I want to use bleach in my foot bath. Yeah, it's only good for, like, a day.
Mm-hmm,
so how much disinfectant do you want to go through?
right. And then my last question,
I like the stronger ones. You're going to pay more, but it is an investment in the health of your birds.
And we talked about that Tektrol, the Oxine, and the One-Stroke Environ, and the
Vercon-S, Nolvazin.
Nolvazin, and absolutely got those in the chat room posted. And then my last question, if you can enlighten me and others, because I've learned so much from you over the years, to my favorite four words, show me the proof, to many other things. But
is that what's sticking with you, Andy?
What's that?
Is that what's sticking with you, Andy? Show me the proof.
There's lots of things stick with you that I learned from you. So, and recently, I've even used, you know, I've started using your, I never do this, and I have healthy birds. And so I started using your throwback to that is, well, how do you know? You know, show me the proof. How do you know? Those four amazing words. Have you ever had your birds tested? And they're like, I have to have my birds tested to prove that they're healthy. You know,
how are you
going to
prove that they're healthy?
they look fine. They're. What are you talking about? They don't have coccidiosis. They don't have this. They don't have that. You know, they don't have worms. Have you ever tested them for worms? No, but I don't. You know, they get pumpkin anyway. Yeah, exactly. Like you just said, how do you know if they're healthy if you don't test them? So just saying, look at my birds, they are healthy, nothing. So testing your birds. I enjoy that aspect of talking with you when I hear that, because a lot of times things are thrown back when I post something. And Chicken Whisperer says I have to test my birds to prove that they're healthy. So they understand.
Well, you know, and your customers may insist on it. So, you know,
right.
It when it comes to, like, if I were to travel to a foreign country, they're going to want me to go through a set of immunizations, right? Then they're going to test to make sure they took, right?
Yep.
And so, or I may try to give blood later on, and they're going to test to see if I have been exposed to XYZ disease before they take my blood, right? That's for safety, right? So, you know, if I've been to such and such a country between blah, blah year and blah, blah year, they're not going to take my blood if I test positive for XYZ disease. And, you know, a blood test or a fecal sample or throat swab is what you're going to do with a chicken. So, you know, they're going to need proof, and if you are swearing up one side and down the other, great. If you're out to prove me wrong, awesome, knock yourself out, but you better have the ammo that shows that you are in the right, and I will consider it. Absolutely, I'm not stupid. If you're right, you're right. But let's be on the same page.
There you go. Love it. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's always a pleasure to have you on. Great information, reliable information, scientific-based information that we need to keep our chickens healthy and happy from from here on out, and we love it when you're on the first and third Thursdays, folks. You can hear Dr. McCrae right here on Blog Talk Radio, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. She's co-author of Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and she is a contributor to Chicken Whisperer magazine. So we're being flooded with great information from Dr. McCrae no matter where you turn. So
Andy,
thank you
I'm
very
looking
much
at this
joining.
Green chicken coop, and I'm just falling in love with some of their stuff. It's
absolutely.
Like they listen to every single one of my shows, and they're doing it.
I know it. If we could just talk them into installing a rollaway nest box, then it would be over the top. And I haven't seen really any coop makers across the country. They may custom that in if you require it, or if you when they pay a little extra for it. But I wish we would see more rollaway nest boxes.
Oh, let me tell you, walk-in runs too.
Yeah. Better on the back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, thank well, you so much.
Shake their hands for me, would you?
We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. You take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's going to wrap up another episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We hope you'll join us, let's see, tomorrow and, of course, Wednesday and, of course, Thursday. But right now, we hope you have a wonderful weekend with family and friends. You can continue to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And tune in daily, Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for reliable, factual, scientific-based information right here on Backyard Chicken Whisperer. God bless everybody.